Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're a man in a relationship, are you really going out with your mother? Or vice versa if you're a woman? Is it really a thing that you're attracted to someone who reminds you of a parent? Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College, Dr. Brendan Kelly, joins us now to run through the science. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So is this all kind of Freudian stuff?
No, this is very, very reliable science here. People select partners who resemble their parents, and in particular, the opposite sex parents. This is very well established, and it seems to be prevalent all over the world. So there is something to this. It's not just psychologizing or psychobabble. This actually happens.
Right. And is it that they look like their parents, or are there other reminders of them?
Well, it's they look like their parents, the same hair color and eye color and height, and general hair distribution, it would seem, although I don't know how they studied that. But also other things, emotional expressiveness, sense of humor, attitude to work, money, family. There are echoes right through. So it's not always a conscious thing, Sean, but it appears we are drawn to familiarity or what we know.
Yeah, it would be weird if it was a conscious thing.
It would be very weird indeed. That said, I mean, some people do notice it, particularly if there are similarities of voice or mannerisms or values. That can be there. And, you know, maybe in retrospect, people see it more than they see it at the time when perhaps they're a little infatuated and they're not thinking clearly.
Is it if you're a woman, it's always someone who looks like your father? Could it be someone who reminds you of your mother?
Yes, it certainly could. It tends to be towards the opposite, a person who resembles the opposite sex parent, but that is not always the case by any means. It can be the other parent. A lot depends on the emotional connection with the parent. So let's say the connection was poor or conflictual, then you're less likely, although still somewhat likely, to select a partner or a mate that resembles that parent. So it's really about the nature of the relationship with the parent to an extent and the degree to which they are imprinted, the degree to which they feel familiar, and therefore at a subconscious level, we are drawn to that reassurance.
Yeah, so it's not affected by your sexuality. If you're gay, for instance, it doesn't necessarily mean you'd be attracted to people who remind you of your father.
There's no apparent difference in the research to suggest that. And obviously, I don't want to overstate this effect because other things come into account. We don't, you know, ultimately, we don't marry someone who is identical to our mother or our father, but we marry or we hang out with someone who feels emotionally familiar. And I guess the trick is noticing which parts of familiar we want to be conscious of and whether this is helpful for us. And often it is. It can be a great reassurance.
And what does imprinting mean?
Well, imprinting means that something gets laid down in your brain or in your general nervous system at a pretty early stage, and it's there even though you don't know it. So most commonly, this is to do with a parent, perhaps a parent, you know, who held you when you were a baby and fed you. And what's imprinting there is the connection, the way of behaving, the degree of emotional expressiveness. These can be very subtle but very powerful things. And we learn these patterns, we reproduce them in our own lives, and we tend to seek them out. Because ultimately, you know, we look for people who are like us to a degree, and we are very often like our parents ourselves.
So if you say, and many people in this country did, of a generation where you grew up with a distant, emotionally unavailable father, so is it less likely to happen in that case?
Yeah, it's less likely if there is emotional unavailability or if there is conflict. So it's more likely such a person would be seeking out echoes of the mother in that situation. Now, you might be seeking those out in a female partner or a male partner, but those are the values or the behaviours, the gestures, the glances, the subtle things that we find subliminally reassuring, because these have been imprinted on us as associated with care, with food, with emotional support, and all this other good stuff that we're looking for when we seek a partner.
If, though, if you're the biological child of people, you're going to look like them. So if you look like them and you're attracted to somebody who looks like them, aren't you also attracted to somebody who looks like yourself?
Yes, and this is known as positive assortative mating, PAM or PAM. And we all there's a bit of PAM going on with everybody, that we look for people who are somewhat similar to us and, by implication, often somewhat similar to our parents. So, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, Sean, it's kind of a miracle if anyone marries someone who does not in any way resemble their parent. And if they do that, it is probably a strong reaction to their parents or a conscious desire to step away from that. But ultimately, as the years go by, that person will discover in their partner echoes of their mother or their father, because this is a very powerful force indeed.
Oh, my God. So there's that old cliche that there's often used to be said to men, if you're sizing up a woman for marriage, look at her mother and then you'll know what she'll become. But actually, they should look at their own mother to see what she'll become.
Yes, I mean, I think it's wise to take all mothers into account in that situation. But looking at one's own mother and one's own father, realizing you're turning out a bit like them yourself, and look, part of turning out like, for example, your father would be being attracted to someone who is like your mother. That's part of what your father, had in him. It's part of what you have in you. And, you know, there's nothing to be concerned about in this. We're just pattern seekers. As humans, we notice similarities, especially after the fact. And this, you know, this resemblance, it doesn't explain love, for example, but it does remind us that early experience shapes how we see the world and who we seek out in the world as well.
How much of this is a balance between those factors, how you've been imprinted as a very young child, and general socioeconomic factors, like you would tend to go for people from the same class as you, with the same attitudes as you, etc.?
Yeah, so that's generally known as proxemics, which is that things that are proximal to us, we tend to stay with. So we stay within our socioeconomic group very often, maybe a cultural group very often. And the people we hang out with over the years are the people that ultimately we are most likely to marry or have long-term relationships and to reproduce with. So there is a bit of that. But these factors are all enmeshed so that, we're likely to find people who are largely similar to our parents in the social group or socioeconomic grouping to which we are born. So there is an enmeshing of all these factors that tends to keep us local in all kinds of ways and makes us turn out like our parents, select people who turn out like our parents, and then we express surprise when the grandchildren resemble the grandparents. But look, that was written in both the genes and the stars from the word go.
Yeah, and but if you're adopted, for instance, it's your nurture parents that you'll have this effect with, I assume.
Yeah, it's whoever does the imprinting. So an awful lot of imprinting happens when we're babies. And our ideas of care, our ideas of safety are laid down then. That's a very powerful time when a lot of our patterns are set. And these can be changed in later life, but it is very much to do with who provides us with early care, who we regard as reliable over the years, and then the desire, the attraction to those values or those qualities as we form and break relationships during the rest of our lives. I think it would be a mistake, however, Sean, to think about this too much. This is not necessarily a bad thing, and it shouldn't stop anyone pursuing a relationship they might currently be pursuing based on the sudden realization that they have turned into their father and their partner is their mother. There's nothing particularly wrong with that.
But can it change over time, Brendan? Say, for instance, if you reach adulthood and you become kind of aware of it, then you might resist that.
You might. A sudden awareness of this can be quite jarring, but, you know, it is not everything. In other words, Like your mother, for example, had lots of really, really good qualities which aren't in any way obviated by the fact that it was your mother who had them, if you know what I mean. It is quite reasonable to look for the positive qualities that our parents had, to look for these in someone that you're marrying or hanging out with or whatever we now say. I mean, things can change. Situations can change dramatically, but over time, the same pattern will emerge almost inevitably, which is that we will choose to spend time with people who resemble people who have made us feel secure, made us feel safe, and made us feel loved in the past. And happily, for many people, those people are their parents.
So we all have a type.
We do. We all have a type, or we all have certain values or certain qualities that we seek out in people, whether we know it or not. And this is largely, you know, there's an evolutionary wisdom in this, because, you know, if there's one thing we know about your parents is that they helped you stay alive until this point, or whoever cared or nurtured you or got imprinted on you, they helped you stay alive until this point. They cared for you such that you've reached this moment. And therefore, it's perfectly reasonable from an evolutionary point of view to seek out something similar, because it worked out okay last time. You know, you're probably not so bad yourself. And therefore, it makes sense that you would try and reproduce something similar into the future. So there's nothing wrong with this. It's maybe good to be aware of it, but as with everything, it's not good to be hyper aware of it or read too much into it.
Brendan, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Brendan Kelly there, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College. One texter says, I married my mother, then had 3 kids with her. Only then did I realise I'd married my mother. My mother was a narcissist. You can figure out the rest. Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I always end up with emotionally unavailable men, and my father is emotionally unavailable, says another texter. And somebody else says, I can't wait to tell the wife this evening that I married her because she's like my mother. I feel a row coming on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.